white supremacy has made recent local news. Between Jeremy Christian's murder trial in Portland and the presence of white nationalist groups in rallies across the state, a special edition of the Oregon Historical Quarterly is out now that reminds residents that the problem is actually rooted deep in the state's history. KLCC's Brian Bull recently talked to the journal's editor, Eliza Canty Jones. Bull asked how ingrained white supremacy is in Oregon's settlement.
It was very much in the milieu. It was very much in the politics. It's very clear, as you can see from George Williams's letter, laying out the argument right before the 1857 Oregon Constitutional Convention, that Oregon would be a place that neither had slavery nor free black people. And those were laws that were already on the books from the territorial government. Obviously, the founding of Oregon comes with an invasion of indigenous land and indigenous communities, what many people refer to as the theft of that land. And then, of course, the white supremacy that attends the history of chattel slavery in the United States. Even though slavery wasn't here in Oregon, the ideology and the policies of white supremacy that attended it throughout the United States were very much present here in Oregon in the mid-19th century when the state was being founded.
African Americans enlisted to fight in World War II against the Third Reich, which carried the Aryan ideal that saw all other races as subhuman and therefore inferior. There's a certain irony to this, isn't there, given how blacks were treated in Oregon and other parts of the U.S.?
Because of the various reasons that people fight in war, I think more what might be looked at is the hypocrisy of the federal government in sending people off to war, ostensibly for freedom, ostensibly for democracy, and not creating and defending policies of democracy and equality at home. The violence that African American soldiers faced after returning from World War I, the threat that many whites felt by seeing African American soldiers in uniform and with guns. You know, you hear a lot of people talk about, even today, who exerts their gun rights in what ways in the United States? We saw photographs of armed militia members in the Kentucky State Capitol. People were reflecting on the relationship between that and armed Black Panther Party members in California in the 1980s and what the state reactions to those kinds of armed citizens has been. So, and in Oregon, of course, as you saw in the special issue, there were the signs as Black military members and shipyard workers came to the state, the "We cater to white trade only" signs that went up during World War II and that kind of thing. There's the political cartoons, the drawings that were in the Black newspaper in Portland showing the African American service member walking by one of those signs and making that point.
What were some of the common signs and attractions across Oregon? I'm talking mainly through the 1930s and 70s. Where caricatures and stereotypes of people of color were brazenly displayed out in the open.
One of the most shocking ones that we have in the special issue is from the Portland restaurant, the Coon Chicken Inn, which is just a really grotesque caricature of an African-American face used as, you know, as sort of the mascot for the restaurant that was open in Portland for many years, and people would drive by that. And obviously today people talk about the Native American mascots, and there's some complexity to that in different ways that tribes have worked with local communities. But I think anytime a group of people is made into a caricature, it's degrading, it's dehumanizing that kind of stereotype.
It's been more than three decades now since members of the white Aryan resistance murdered Mulugeta Seraa in Portland. Now, with white nationalism and anti-immigration rhetoric heating up again in recent years, are we seeing parallels today that may set the stage for further violence like that?
I think we've seen that violence, haven't we? You know, you saw the murders at the Tree of Life Synagogue. You saw the mass murders in the Walmart in El Paso several years ago. Several victims, I believe, at the community college in Roseburg. Obviously, the murders of the men on the MAX train that Jeremy Christian is on trial for right now. I think the violence is here, and it's not just in the Pacific Northwest, and it's not just in the United States.
Eliza Canty Jones, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. Have a great day, and thanks for covering this. We appreciate it.
KLCC's Brian Bull talking to Eliza Canty Jones. She's editor of the Oregon Historical Quarterly's special edition on white supremacy and resistance in the state.